starts spinning in my brain, and then it's pounding in my chest. What if I've wasted all my youth? What if I've wasted growing up? What if I've wasted my whole life? Oh man, I feel like throwing up. It's an anxiety attack, an anxiety attack. I've got a bad case of the horrors, and at night it comes back. Cause first I look back at my week, and then I look back at my year, and then I'm terrified to speak, and then I'm paralyzed with fear. And I'm tossing and I'm turning and I'm going round the bend, and all I see are all my failings, downward spirals without end. And I see horror in the future, then I see horror in the past. Then it's 4 a.m., 5 a.m., 6 a.m. at last. Cause what if I never feel grown up and die in a car accident? And what if I go crazy? And what if this time it's permanent? And what if I go broke and have to move back with my parents? And then what if I get cancer and I ain't got no insurance? All my days are moving faster and it's making me feel dizzy. How come I get nothing done but always feel so busy? And I used to feel so smart, you know, I used to feel so strong. But this just can't be how to live, I must be doing something wrong. Because everything I might do feels like something else I can't. And then another day is gone and I just don't know where it went. I try not to hang out too much, try not to watch too much television, but still everything I do just seems to be the wrong decision. And I lay down every night, but still I can't get no rest, cause it starts spinning in my brain, and then it's pounding in my chest. It's an anxiety attack, an anxiety attack. I've got a bad case of the horrors, and at night it comes back.
You're listening to Ink Studs on CITR 101.9 FM. That was Anxiety Attack by Jeffrey Lewis, a request by my guest, Gabriel Bell. We got you there, Gabriel?
Yes.
Excellent. I foresee some phone possible issues, so if I ask you questions twice in a row or can't hear you, I'll let you know.
All right. I'll try to show.
Gabriel, thank you for joining us. Author, writer, artist of Lucky, recent collection from Drawing Quarterly, as well as a plethora of anthologies, Mom Sharezada, how do you pronounce that?
Scheherazade.
Okay. I'll never get it right.
I practice a lot.
Also, the mini comic, which I was happy to pick up at SPX, My Affliction, which I'm going to ask you a bunch of questions about, and the old collection of old stuff, I guess aptly titled When I'm Old and Other Stories from Alternative. It's a whole whack of comics to yak about. So, I guess I'll start out with the Lucky Collection. Reading through lots of stuff about your work, it was originally going to be published by Alternative, I guess, and then Fantagraphics, and now it came out from Drawn and Quarterly. Oh, appears I have lost Gabriel. Okay, hopefully I can get her back. Till then, Ink Studs. Normally, every third Monday, or third Saturday of each month, the Comic Jam happens. And this week it's not going to actually happen at the Jolly Alderman. It'll be the following Saturday, so be sure to check it out. Okay, I think that's Gabriel now. So, have I got you there, Gabriel?
I'm sorry about that.
That's okay. It's excellent that you took the number to call us back.
I should have told you my phone is not so great.
Ah, boo to phones. Is it a cell phone?
Okay, so what did we miss?
I was just bringing up your latest collection, Lucky, from Drawn and Quarterly. Originally, it was going to be published, I guess, by Alternative, and then Fantagraphics, and then Drawn and Quarterly?
Yes. St. Martin's Press was vaguely interested as well.
And what was the drawing factor for Drawn-In Quarterly?
Oh, I don't know. I just like the company. I also like that they do a really good job, but they also have not a lot of artists. And, it was kind of hard to decide.
Well, it's neat, because they did Drawn-In Quarterly has a look to their books, and it's incorporated with your latest book, but it's a great job putting that together, the lovely hardcover with, I guess that's like a matte finish.
Yeah, they did a great job. I haven't regretted it in the least.
What kind of role do you have in the book design?
Not a lot. I'm not really very good at that. Tom Devlin did
Of it.
As a matter of fact, I don't think I even chose the... I think I may have chosen a few images for the cover and gave them up to him to decide on.
To do his magic with.
Yes, he did a really good job.
Now, you just got back from a tour that you were doing with Anders Nilsson and Kevin Huizenga, both great cartoonists. What was that like?
It was a lot of fun. It was really great because it was February and I got to leave New York and got to go to L.A. I don't know. It was a lot of fun. And Kevin and Anders are so nice. We just talked about comics all the time. We put on our slideshows and lots of people came out to see us. It was the nicest tour I've ever been on and pretty much the first.
Well, I wish I got the chance to see it. Unfortunately, I'm up in Vancouver, and there's a border between me and Seattle, so I would have liked to have gone down.
Yeah, difficult question that.
But you did My Affliction. I saw some photos of it, and that was like a big part of your slideshow. Am I right?
Part of my what?
Part of your slideshow that you did was your latest... Is it your latest, My Affliction?
Yes, I did that as a slideshow. I divided it so that each panel was a slide. Are you still with me?
Yeah.
Oh, good. And then I just read it and did all the voices and stuff. It worked well because there's a lot of surprises in the story.
Well, it's an excellent story. It's very different, I find, from most of your other stuff. I mean, there is some fantasy in a lot of your other stuff, or like daydreaming. But this in itself is like an extended daydream story, I guess.
Yeah, I guess I took a different approach to the storytelling.
But you also the art style that you utilize in it, it's where you do a lot of like the really heavy use of black space.
Mm-hmm.
But I've noticed like Lucky is more focused on the kind of tight black line work. Is that something particular for the type of story that you did?
Well, it's how I've been working lately. I'm coming out with the next issue of Lucky pretty soon this summer. And it is very, very heavy black. And sort of, I don't know, where all the white would be, now it's black and vice versa.
Now, is that going to be also self-published?
No, it's going to be formally published with Drawn-In Quarterly. Also, My Affliction is actually going to be collected in, I mean, it's going to be part of that. So it's going to be a bunch of journal comics and then My Affliction.
Oh, okay. That would be nice. I highly recommend that people pick it up. It was very nice to be able to pick it up because I made my way to SPX and one of my many stacks of purchases there. I guess we'll go through a bit of your history with comics and your own like creative history. And don't mind if some of the questions are repetitive from what people ask in other interviews.
No problem.
I try my best to kind of make them different, but you always end up back at the same questions. Now,
I like to talk about myself.
Excellent. Well, that'll make great radio. Now, you grew up in a pretty odd, isolated setting.
Yeah, it was pretty isolated. It was in the country.
Now, your mother lived pretty much off the grid, it seems like, reading from what I've gathered from your mini comics.
It was up in the mountains. It was like, it's just very rural. Like, we didn't have a phone most of the time, for example. And it was, you know, we'd have a generator. Sometimes we would have a solar panels.
Okay.
We were kind of trying to be self-sufficient, like.
Now, growing up, comics weren't really a big part of your thing.
Not a big part, no. A minor part.
What kind of things were you really interested in as far as, I guess we'll talk about comics also, other things like literature and art, because literature and art, I find, especially art, a really big part of your comic discussion of art. But what kind of stuff were you into when growing up?
What was I into when growing up? I did read a little bit of comics, but it didn't, and it did have a big effect on me in a way, but it wasn't a big part of my life, I guess. I remember, like, I would send away for the Archie comics, and I loved Peanuts, Charlie Brown. But I did like to read a lot. Thinking about it as a small child, I didn't really have quite a lot of, there was books.
What kind of books did you really get into? Because that's part of my question is, like, really what kind of stuff? Like, it doesn't just have to be comics because everyone's influenced by so many different things.
Well, until I was about 12 or 13, my grandmother would send me a lot of, teenage books or preteen books, like Are You There, God? It's Me, Margaret. And I liked those a lot. But when I was a teenager, my mother was reading a lot of like Dostoevsky.
Okay.
And I remember Siddhartha, which I read when I was about 13.
Wow.
So as I got a little older, I was trying to read more of the things that my mother was reading. And then there was a lot of these hippie books like Carlos Castaneda, and Ellen Watts.
A lot of the kind of inner reflection type of stuff.
Yeah, these were things that were on the bookshelf. And then there was stuff like Aleister Crowley, which I could not really read.
You know what? You're not alone on that. I've tried, and it's so... I think he's just making stuff up, making up words, and then, like, throwing stuff together and, like, think people make sense. So, I don't know. But the odd thing is I do know lots of people that read it and, you know, research it and try and understand it. And I don't know if it's worth it.
Yeah, I was never able to, not then and not now. I'm more into fiction, really. I just really love fiction.
And that's something that's, reflected at the end of When I'm Old is the adaptation of The Virgin and the Gypsy, the D.H. Lawrence.
Yeah.
No, I haven't actually...
I like those innuendo sort of stories, double entendres.
I haven't actually read much D.H. Lawrence. I think I read one story in English class. I should probably read more. In your comics, now it's autobio, but you kind of stay away from the traditional autobio, traps of talking about your comics. You do a little bit in Lucky Number 2, but it's not talking about your comics. You're talking about your problem because the loss of the sketchbook, but it's not where I find with a lot of autobio people, they just kind of talk about their comics and other comics. Is that something in your own life where comics really aren't a factor? For the most part?
Comics are a huge factor for me. They're pretty much my whole life. But I have to say, my next Lucky that's coming out is going to be a lot about comics, too. I didn't want it to be, but when you're doing these autobiographical comics, or like journal comics, it's kind of hard to avoid.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes I just let myself... And other times I do try to fight it.
Now, is it going to be about your kind of working on your book, or is it going to be kind of involvement in the comics community?
Tour a little bit.
Oh, okay.
And my slideshow. So yes, very self-referential.
That's okay.
In a way, I just feel like I wouldn't be honest if I wasn't talking about it. Well, then maybe that's just my being defensive.
Well, I'm not trying to put you on the defensive. I'm just noticing as a part of your work, especially there's a big focus on art in your work.
I noticed that too.
That's
a big, especially on conceptual art and abstract art too.
In the showcase story, the Drawn Quarterly showcase story, is that you're kind of making a statement on your feeling on some conceptual art?
No, not at all. I mean, I love conceptual art. I love abstract art. I love a lot of it. I don't know why, but I seem to make fun of it a lot. I noticed in Lucky I did as well. We go into the DFD and it sort of make fun of conceptual art. I have a theory about it, and that is that traditionally cartoonists have a sort of contempt for like the high arts, like the fine arts, because cartooning is sort of a traditionally it's kind of a low art or something that's like self-taught and learned by the proletariat or something, whereas like high art is sort of primarily power for
that. So I just gotta get you to repeat that.
So this is stuff I've been thinking about lately. I've been trying to figure out why I've been sort of making fun of conceptual art in my comics.
Now you're saying like you got it's the second part that got cut off where you're talking about the comics art being lowbrow and high art being, you know, something else, and why comics aren't really.
Yeah, it seems like it would be natural traditionally for comics to sort of poke fun at this high art, sort of out of contempt or jealousy or snobbery or something.
Now, that, when I was at SPX, I saw Scott McCloud do an interesting talk where he discussed something like that, where he's like, there's four different camps of comics. There's, you know, like the fantasy camp, you know, the Dungeons and Dragons, heavy metal type, and I think I forget all the types, like the real, like, fantasy art. And then there's the crumb camp, you know, the alternatives, the more the undergrounds. And then there's like the Spiegelman type, where it is more of an embrace of the kind of pushing the high art.
Yes, it's definitely becoming more and more like that too now. It's going in that direction.
Well, I noticed like your tour, you're going with Kevin Huizenga and Anders Nilsson, who are both very different. All three, it's quite neat, because you're all very different artists, but you're all kind of pushing comics in a different direction.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like Kevin's kind of doing, I don't know, very literal, very like inner dialogue, and then Anders with really pushing the medium just as far as the experimentation. And you think that's
and artistically.
Mm-hmm. And you think that's like an important part of that is like really like showing the difference between the three of you, like being a part of that tour.
Mm-hmm. Wait. So what am I doing?
Sorry. How for you was that a part of being on the tour? Which is like not only are they cool guys, but you know it's like something where it's like you're very. It's a different type of art. All three of you are very different, and kind of you have like your own solitary voice as part of that, so people can check out and get like a different thing from different artists.
Yeah. Yeah, I definitely feel like I've learned something from them. We all sort of learn things from each other, I think. There is a definite literal or literary bent in Kevin's way, and this very fine art inspired in Anders' direction.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, I really don't know what I am, but I think all three of us were, in a way, we're trying to like find a balance in it, too. We're not really trying to specialize or anything, I don't think.
I'm going to do a quick music break. Is there any particular song you'd like me to play from the pre-selected list of tracks?
Oh, surprise me.
Okay, I'm going to play the Bessie Smith because that's what order the tracks are in. But I quite enjoyed that anxiety song. So just stick on the line and we'll come right back in 3 minutes.
Okay.
CITR 101.9 FM. This is In the House Blues by Bessie Smith. CITR 101.9 FM. That was In the House Blues by Bessie Smith. We got you there, Gabriel?
Yep, I'm here.
Now it's Gabriel, right?
It's actually Gabriel.
Gabriel, I'm sorry.
No problem. For consistency's sake.
I'll say it right from now on. I somehow mispronounce everyone's name who I have on the show at one point or another.
It's
an inherent fault of mine.
It's perfectly understandable. How would you know?
I should remember from SPX when you guys did your little discussion on thinking in comics.
Yes, how to draw thinking.
Yeah, it was an odd topic. What do you think about that as a topic for a panel discussion?
I thought it was difficult because I didn't even understand what it meant. And so at first I thought it meant like how to draw consciously or like how to draw and think at the same time. And then I learned that it was actually how to convey thought in comics, like how to draw somebody thinking. And then I realized that it wasn't that, but it was just simply a jumping off point on the inner life of comic narrative or something.
Well, I liked your reply. It's like, I just do thought balloons. Now, I'm going to ask a bunch of questions about your story in the Drawn and Quarterly Showcase number 4. Does it even have a name for the story?
I'm sorry?
The story in Drawn and Quarterly Showcase number 4.
It actually didn't have a name because I couldn't think of one, and I just sent them the story and hoped that they wouldn't ask me. But I just titled it Felix.
Okay. Because normally, almost all your stories have some kind of little title, even like the two pagers, so that's funny.
Yeah, no, I just couldn't think of anything. I wanted something catchy, but everything seemed really dumb.
Now, is this your longest story?
Yes, I think it is. This is my longest self-contained story.
Now, the art in it, it's a different style for you. The what kind of color medium did you use for that?
I used these markers. They were kind of like Prismacolors, but they were called Sharp Pack. And I liked them because they didn't streak very much.
No, it's very nice. You've got like a really good balance of colors. And no, it doesn't wash over into the other stuff. Now, when you were doing the story, did they want something color or just basically...
They specified they wanted something in color, and I was pretty scared of that because I really hadn't done much color before. And the little bit of color that I had done, it was just so difficult and took so long.
No, that was the story for Kramer Zergot, right?
Yeah, that took forever, and I thought I could not color 34 pages in that style.
Well, that one looked really, I guess, labor-intensive. And that was a different medium used for that, correct?
Yeah, that was gouache. I think that wouldn't have worked for that story anyway because it would have been sort of distracting.
Now, I had a question specifically to this story. Is it somewhat autobiographical or is it just purely just kind of facets of things you've experienced in New York or is it just pure fiction?
It's pretty fiction. That stuff really didn't happen to me. I mean, of course there's elements that are autobiographical, but I used elements from my life and to some degree, and then I created a story from that.
No.
With fiction, you sort of go... I mean, you sort of use the material of life, but then create something new out of it. Is that a good answer?
Yes.
Does that make any sense?
It does. It does. And that's something I'd ask about is your stories predominantly are all read autobiographically, but I don't know, like I guess 40% aren't. I don't know. I'm just throwing a number. I don't know how many aren't and how many are.
Yeah, a lot of my stories are very autobiographical, and it gets pretty blurry. I don't know, I feel like I have to defend myself a lot on this. But, so a lot of my autobiographical stories are pretty fictional in a way, too. Maybe I'll get in trouble for that.
Nah, I don't think so. I have a friend...
Change the names in my story because that makes all of it fictional. The only name I changed is my own because I figure fictional story, even the stuff that's in journal, so I can do what I want with it.
I just didn't get that last part there.
I'm sorry, there's a plane flying by me. I said, even if it's journalistic, it's still fiction because I changed the names, and then I can do it with it. Autobiographical stuff can be kind of messy.
Yeah, well, I mean, there's always people that don't like anything being said about other people or themselves.
I'm just making things fit into a story, the context of a story.
Yeah. You're an artist, and... You tell a story, and that primarily, I guess, is the most important part. Now, looking at When I'm Old and compared to the other stuff, how early is some of this work? Because it's very, like, I guess, raw, a lot of the artwork in there. And it's...
let's see. I started drawing comics when I was about 23 or something, 22. I think I was 22. So I guess the earliest story must have been about 9 years ago.
Wow.
And the latest would have been like 4 years ago.
Just about when the book came out?
Yes, I think so.
Now, one of my favorite in here is the Just one recent part two.
Yes, that was kind of long too, wasn't it?
Yeah, it's great. What were some of the ideas like that came up with that story? Because it's pretty dark. Well, I guess you used the black paper in there to kind of get that darkness. What were some of the ideas going into doing that story?
There's this movie, Contempt. No, not Contempt, I'm sorry. I can't even remember the movie name. It was Repulsion. It was pretty much inspired by that movie. I mean, it was kind of naive of me. I just saw this movie and I was like, I'm going to do a comic based on that. I don't know. I don't know what I was doing exactly. It was kind of pure in that way. I just wanted to, like, express this thing. But,
Well, I guess it's just trying to explore an idea. And it's not exact in the movie. Did you kind of throw in your parts and kind of make your own story out of it?
Yeah, sort of. I took some elements of the movie, but then I didn't think it too. I used this other character and I made it. I said it in the 90s and had all these, more contemporary characters in it and stuff. I'm not sure what exactly I was trying to do with that story. I was, mostly I just thought it would be cool to have her running down this hallway and, like, hands coming out of the hallway grabbing her and stuff. So it was more like a visceral or textural kind of thing.
Well, it's very, like, anxiety-ridden, I find, the character.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something I find in some of the other stories, is there's definitely a sense of anxiety. Is that something you try and, like, explore through your comics?
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, the reason I do autobiographical comics at all is because it seems like it's as honest as I can be. I mean, and not even literally honest, but just to try to get at some kind of truth of a matter. And the truth of my life matters. So I live with a lot of anxiety. It's just my own personal... I guess I'm just trying to work it out, but I'm not going to be able to work out much if I don't. I mean, that's sort of like a factor of life, or of my life. So it's just like comics, you know? I feel like I must acknowledge this anxiety. I must acknowledge the fact that these are comics. The whole truth of my own experience, and my own experience is really all I can talk about in comics.
God bless comics.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Now, in one of your stories, you mentioned travel is a big factor for you. And, I mean, it comes up again and again for you, like traveling, I guess going to England to see your grandmother and stuff. Is that something that kind of part of anxiety? Is that being on the go always?
Well, I don't really travel a lot, but when I do travel, I think I'm more inspired to do autobiographical comics because everything is sort of novel. It's pretty hard to do.
Is it that whole just new experiences?
Yeah. Staying at home is kind of hard to do comics about, well, I stayed home and you know, surfed on the internet or something. Traveling sort of forces you to look at things in different ways and look and experience new things, which compels me to do comics about it. So, yeah, I'm not a big traveler. It just happens. I'm inspired by traveling.
Well, you did just get back from the tour.
Yeah. That was fun. I'll do a comic about that.
There we go. And I do wish you could have made it up. Me and my friend wanted to try and get you guys up to Vancouver, but I guess the budget wasn't there.
They could come, too, actually.
Pardon?
I didn't want to stop.
You guys wanted to keep going?
Yeah, that would have been great, but oh well.
Another day, hopefully. You know there's always a couple of stores that would happily do a signing here, so. Now, other themes that are kind of ongoing in your work, there's a lot that kind of interactions with children who are, you know, very creative. Do you find that helps for your own creativity, that, you know, seeing children kind of express themselves and doing whatever they want, and kind of for your own storytelling?
Yeah, I guess it does help, since I get comments about them. Yeah, kids are very inspiring. They're always, I don't know, they're usually, like, it's like traveling. Because everything is so new and exciting, and that's how you feel when you're traveling. You got, like, a room full of adults, and then there's, like, one kid, and this kid is so much more aware and so much more, like, alive than all those adults. So I find that interesting.
Well, the one story I find really neat, which kind of reflects that, the first story, yeah, Amy was a babysitter, and when I'm old... Okay. Pardon?
Oh, yes, I forgot about that story.
Where it's like, it kind of forces Amy's own creativity,
she's forced to come up with stories and to entertain the kids.
Do you teach, like, in some of the Lucky stories, I think, I can't remember if that was, or one of the Mom stories, were you two teaching for kids in New York?
I did, but I don't anymore.
No?
It'd be hard for me. I mean, I would do it if I had the chance, but... generally, I'm pretty shy.
Yeah.
It's hard getting up in front of a class. I did it because the job was offered to me, but it's not something I would go after.
No, it's funny. For myself, like, I can't really do public speaking, but I can do the radio no problem. So I guess it's that whole, you know, barrier of, I have a wall in front of me, or do I have a group of people in front of me? Now, I'm going to play the Steven Eicher track Nice, because I never heard it before, and I loved it. Where did you hear that? It's like weird, obscure German techno or something?
It's, I think it's Belgium. My friend gave it to me on a mix CD, and it was the best song on the CD. And I asked him where he got it, and I couldn't find it anymore. Oh, there was two songs on the CD, but we couldn't find anything else by him anywhere. This is all we got.
Yeah, no, I have some resources for finding music, and this is the only track by him I think I could find.
Yeah, so just another. It's really wakes you up or something.
I don't know, it's that great old, like, I guess, yeah, Belden makes sense, like, the kind of techno style that they had there, so.
Thanks, that's just a theory, I'm not sure.
I will research more. So I'm going to play that song. Keep staying on, and
all right,
we'll come back in a sec.
Okay.
CITR 101.9 FM, Ink Studs. Here's Steven Eicher, Nice. CITR 101.9 FM. That is, I guess it's Stefan Eicher?
I think so. If it's, Stefan Eicher.
If it's Belgian. God bless the hand claps. It's been a while since I've heard any music with hand claps. Back to comics. I'm joined by Gabrielle Bell, author of Lucky, My Affliction, which will be in Lucky number 4, coming from Drawn Quarterly this summer. Many, many stories in Moam. Every issue of Moam has you, which I'm very happy about. That's one of my favorite anthologies right now, I gotta say.
Well, great. I should warn you, I'm not going to be in the next one, but I probably will be in the one after.
Well, as long as it has Paul Hornschweimer, I guess I'll be okay. I hadn't actually gotten to his stuff before, and then I got the Moams, and I was just blown away and quickly hunted down any stuff by him I could find.
Yeah.
Now, what kind of comics are you into right now on your journeys and travels? What kind of stuff has been, like, going, wow, I love comics?
I don't know. That is a difficult question. I know there's a lot of great stuff being made now.
It's definitely, like, do you find it's a different community now than it was, say, 5 years ago?
Yeah.
Because I think I see comics like really taking on a different light now, and it's really neat. Like going to somewhere like SPX where there's just like, I don't even want to know how much money I spent there just buying minis off these people, and it's just these incredible things. It's just like, you know, we made and then we came it brought it down, and you know, we've got like 3 comics, and it's just like incredible, these people just putting out so much goodness. So must be a nice time to be doing comics.
Yes, the comics renaissance.
There we go. We'll call it that. Now, I'm going to ask some more stories, or more questions about some more stories. I noticed a lot of daydreaming in some of the comics.
Mm-hmm.
Like My Affliction, I guess. Is that a dream or daydream, or what was the kind of...
That really happened last summer.
The giant picked you up?
Yes, the behemoth and the cage that I was put in. And that was sort of improvisation. Some of it was based on some dreams that I had, but it was also like stream of consciousness or automatic thinking. Like I would just do whatever came to my mind right away. Another thing I did was just before I was falling asleep, I would come up with ideas like, I would sort of write things down just before I fell asleep. I would write a page a day, and I would just try to keep my mind kind of loose. And then, so I wrote it. It took about a month to write, but then I went back and edited it for the funniest or the most interesting parts, and then pulled it together that way.
Now, do you find yourself... leading towards doing some stuff just to kind of explore yourself as a character in the stories?
Yeah. I was always kind of against that, but I just keep going back to it. I mean, what I really always kind of wanted to do was fictional, like just very straight fiction and like a showcase story, you know. It was like sort of a dramatic situation, and I really like that, and I'm not so fond of like fantasy or magic realism. But then lately, I just find that it's really fun and exciting, and so I think I'm going to just follow that.
Just follow the comics wherever they may go, and let them speak for themselves, I guess.
Yeah.
Now, the piece in, no, I'm totally going to mispronounce it again.
Scheherazade.
That was originally told to you by someone else.
Based on this story by Kate Chopin.
Okay.
Who I heard on, it was on Selected Shorts, and it was a story. I think it was like turn of the century sort of story. It was a very, very short story about a woman who finds out that her husband has died. And then she realizes how happy she is about it because she's free. But then it turns out that it's this a mistake that he hasn't died, and then she has a heart attack because she's so upset about this. But then I sort of made it contemporary, and I threw in the sort of plot twist kind of thing, and I put in some more family stuff. I made it longer in a way. It was a story. It was written. It was like half a page long.
Well, it's a completely different ending that you did than what was it, and
Different ending. But the germ of it did come from her.
Now the ending. Is it sad, or is it that she's kind of like reconnected with him? Like, I kind of get the feeling it's just kind of like, oh crap, he's back.
I feel like it's very sad because nothing is resolved, and she's, in a way, I find that it was like, it was just like in the story where she died, and that she did kind of die because she has to go on living this sort of, this lie, basically. So in a way, she's like half dead.
Now, did you know it was going to be in purple when you did it? Was that
No, I didn't.
Was that just one of those things where you got the book and like, oh, it's in purple?
Yeah, I like that though.
It's different. It's a great collection, and actually that was one of the first places where I originally got into your work.
Great.
And I was waiting with bated breath for the Lucky collection, and then picked it up off of you at the SPX. Now, the Lucky collection, they're the three main stories. They're all completely different. How this was done over, I guess, a 3-year period?
No, I think it was done over just 1 year. It was exactly a year, I think.
But you're kind of, you know, the first story is the very, like, straight autobio journalistic stuff. And the second story is kind of more of a story, I guess, with the loss of the sketchbook. And then I guess it was the second one where you went into the art museum. I can't remember.
Yes.
And that's more of telling a straight story. Was it for yourself kind of exploring the different story options?
Yeah, I wasn't really trying to confine myself to anything. Really, it was sort of an evolution because I started it out as that journal comic. But then as I got more into it, I wanted to expand it more to fill out some the stories more, and then to leave out other stories, like just to focus more on it. And then I'm not sure how the third one happened. I think I wrote that all. I think I wrote the entire third issue in one day and then drew it over the next month or two.
Now the story, the artist assistant, I can't, is that part of the Lucky or that? No, that, yeah, that's part of the Lucky actual issues.
Yeah, that's part of Lucky.
Was that an experience you went, that was an experience you went through?
Sort of. It was, like I said,
taking some liberties.
But, I mean, it was all daydream, if that's what you mean.
the experience, you know, working with another artist, I guess.
Yeah, it was very exaggerated. It wasn't really like that. Really, she just needed some help with her drawings. And I don't know, it wasn't that she needed help with her drawings. We were doing this sort of experiment where we would collaborate on our styles.
And but, did that affect you?
I was also her employee.
Did that change your style at all, or like learn off this other person, or are you kind of like, okay, you need to stay with your own thing, or?
I'm not sure. It was quite a while ago. I feel like it must have helped somehow, but I think it probably mostly helped me get comfortable with color, because around that same time I was working on the chair story with all the gouache. But as far as drawing, I don't think it really did that much for my style. I'm not a very big collaborator. I have a hard time collaborating.
Well, all your stories are primarily all you, except I think I read somewhere that some elements of the chair story, someone gave you some ideas or something. I can't remember.
Yeah, my friend was staying at my house, and she said, do a story about a girl who turns into a chair. And so I set myself that to that task.
Then, okay, so that's all you anyways. You just got the impotence or impetus from that. Now, what do we have to look forward to in the future for Gabriel Bell? Gabriel Bell.
Well, there's my Lexi series, which I think will begin in the summertime, like June. And we're talking about doing a collection with Jonan Quarterly of short stories, like the Showcase story and the Scheherazade story and My Affliction and The Chair story, all those.
Oh,
all
kind of similar to the Curses book, I guess.
Yeah, just all my old stuff.
Well, I look forward to that. I'm going to wrap it up now, I think. We're near the end of the hour. I want to thank you for taking the time to join me. Normally I say us because usually it's more than me, but this week it's just me.
Thank you.
As I said, I look forward to seeing Lucky Number 4 this summer from Jonan Quarterly, like you're saying. And thank you for coming and joining us.
Thank you.
And have a good, I guess, it's evening now for you, so.
Yes, have a good afternoon
okay.
for you.
See ya.
Bye. Bye.
That was Gabriel Bell, Gabriel, not Gabriel. And great stuff. I really highly recommend everyone check it out. I am a huge fan of her work, and I think you all should be too. The Moam anthologies are awesome. I guess she's not going to have anything in the next couple, but they're still good. Check them out. But she has stuff in all the old ones. Buy Lucky. It's a great collection. You can find it at, ironically, Lucky's Comics in Vancouver. And RX Comics, and The Comic Shop, and Sophia Books, and places where finer comics are sold outside of Vancouver. I'm a huge fan of her work, like I said, and there's not a lot out there, but you should get it all. Or I guess that's a reason you should get it all. And the Moam anthology, like I said, they're great collections. There's so many people that have like gotten to know their work by it. People like Jonathan Bennett and Martin Sandretta, who's also in the Jonan Quarterly Showcase, as well as one of my new favorites, Dan Zetwatch, and also just all good comics. I forgot to mention that this month I'm trying to focus primarily on female cartoonists, since last week was International Women's Day, and I was joined by Robert Gregory, and next week will be Liz Prince. I don't know who I'm going to have on the 29th yet. We'll see. And then next month, already confirmed, L. Columbia. Dudes, L. Columbia. If you don't know him, research him. He has about 3 comics, but they're all excellent and came out 10 years ago. Or over 10 years ago, but his site is up and lcolumbia.com, and there's some great stuff. Who else? Ed Brubaker. I know it's not alternative. I know it's not independent. But he did start out in the alternative's independence, and I'm a fan of his early work. So we're going to have him on, and I'm looking forward to it. I really liked his Gotham Central series. Totally way off the track of what I normally talk about on here. But you know what? Let's switch it up a little. Inkstuds.com, check it out. Like I said earlier, this week isn't the Comic Jam. Next week is the Comic Jam. But on Sunday is the Vancouver Comic Con, where you will see me going through bins of comics. And you'll see Don King there. And I don't know if Bougie's going to be there. But Kari Andrews is the headliner. He is a very talented young man. I highly recommend checking out his work. He's did a whole whack of Hulk covers when Hulk got big for that while. And tons of other great stuff. I'm going to end the show off with... who was it again? Daniel Johnson. Actually, I should ask about the Daniel Johnson song. It's a great Daniel Johnson song. Almost Got Hit by a Truck off the Yip Jump album from like 1983. If you don't know who Daniel Johnson is, watch the documentary Devil and Daniel Johnson. It's fabulous. Ink Studs. That was fun. Next week, or next show, Crimes and Treasons. Word out, yo.